Welcome, welcome, welcome. Peace and love and light and bliss and joy is what I'm wishing you today. I am Lisa Giroux, sharing pathways to peace, purpose, and prosperity. And I'm wishing you an amazing day. This day, the here and the now, where life is occurring. And as we are leaping into the new year, as the time is absolutely flowing fast. It certainly feels like it in this age of Aquarius. We are really, really wanting to continue to engage our inner realm, going deeply within so that we don't go without. Because without our inner work, without taking that leap of faith, and delving deep within the mystery that lies within this skin suit that we wear, that houses our beautiful body and houses our super souls and our spirit and our connection to the divine, we're really, really missing out on an aspect of human experience that is really why we came. Really why we came, at least according to what I subscribe to and what I share with my clients and students. And I'm also very excited today to welcome once again my friend, Reverend Dr. Norma Edwards, and we certainly always enjoy a very enthusiastic conversation. And we had a blast yesterday chit-chatting and catching up, and today we are doing the same, and I'm excited that you're here today with us. And what I'm going to do, before we bring Reverend Norma on, let's just get the energy going here. So if it's safe for you to do so, feet flat on the floor, and if you have your candle, we light it now. And we light the candle to represent the divine. We light the candle to represent the mysterious, the unknown. We light a candle so we can see our way through the clutter, through the darkness. And let's take our glass of water and hold it to our hearts as we just ask that all the beings of love and light be here present with us now as we ramp up our energy. We ask to receive this teaching as a blessing as it has been intended. We ask that Reverend Norma and I, that we rise to our highest good, to allow this energy to flow through us freely, beautifully, easily, just like life is meant to be. And whatever it is that might be holding you back now, let's just breathe into that place and that space as we access the energy and open our energetic field to being receptive, breathing into the heart space, drawing down the Divine Father into our hearts. Loving ourselves just as we are here and now, as we surrender all the way down the energetic channel, down to the core of Mother Earth. We're just pouring out all our disbelief, pouring out all of our fear and our grief, allowing the Earth Mother to heal that and transmute it into something beautiful that we now bring back into our body, into that heart space. And from this place now, we're sending out our love and light to the east and the west and the north and the south, above and below. We're asking that all beings be affected by our love and light here and now as we choose to love ourselves better so that we can love all our fellow travelers better. We're asking to be divinely guided, protected, directed, effective in all that we are choosing to do today. And as we send our love and light all the way around the planet, I say thank you as I receive yours. We see that all the hearts are being shifted, that peace is possible through this moment in time only. We access it here and now. We remember, we recognize it, we witness it, and we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so that is namaste. All right, here we are together again. I'm so very excited. I'm going to jump right into the call and bring Reverend Dr. Norma Edwards on. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, Reverend Norma. How are you today?
I am wonderful, and of course, I feel so relaxed and renewed from that meditation. Thank you.
And it really doesn't take long, does it? It just takes a moment to shift that energy.
Just takes a moment to settle and
so
to
I
be.
Really, absolutely. To be fully here now, awake and engaged. And I had to tell you, last night in meditation, I pulled a couple of cards. And after our conversation, we decided that today's topic would be balance and harmony. And I pulled the first two cards. I pulled balance and harmony from my angel deck. Isn't that amazing? I almost called you last night to say you wouldn't believe what just occurred, but of course you would believe it.
harmony. When we are in the flow, then we are harmoniously connected. And,
absolutely.
That's what that speaks of. We are in the flow.
We are in the flow.
Yes.
And when we are in the flow, harmony can be described as orderly arrangement. And that orderly arrangement brings us so much bliss and joy in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. It's amazing, isn't it?
It truly is amazing. And, you know, 21st century living, I'd like to start by saying 21st century living demands change. And that's said deliberately that way. It's not asking us if we would like to change. It's not being polite about, you know, maybe you should consider changing. 21st century living demands change. And in order for us to acquiesce to that demand, it requires us to begin to think of ways in which we can bring alignment of body, mind, soul, spirit. And as we come into alignment, then we can begin to feel that harmonious flow. But the times in which we live are changing times. The energy that we need in order to manifest this change is already on the planet. It has arrived. It came in 2012, and it's available to each and every one of us. And we will either flow with the energy, or we will be like a ship tossed on the ocean by the energy. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. That is beautifully put. Please roll on. I am all ears.
In December of 2012, I was honored to be on, I was actually on air the day the earth shifted. And when it shifted, this phenomenal levels of energy began to pour onto the planet. And I have friends who live in Arizona who called me the next day and talked about looking up into the sky and literally seeing the light coming in onto the planet. When we turn our television sets on, or we really pay attention to everything that's going on around us, we'll begin to realize that it almost seems like chaos. And that's because we are birthing. The energy has come in, and each and every one of us, we've got to birth it. It's like a mother who is impregnated. We're impregnated with the energy. And, you know, when I was carrying my second child, I kind of got in touch with the fact that you can speak to the spirit of a baby while it's in uterus. And so I've had that extreme connection with my second son, beginning with my second son, because throughout the pregnancy, I spoke constantly with the spirit of my baby. And one of the things he said to me, because my very first pregnancy was very difficult, my second pregnancy ended up with the baby being born dead. So I was very fearful of labor, and fearful of the fact, you know, will I walk away with a live baby? And my baby in utero said to me, now, if you can calm down, use your breath effectively, you and I will do this thing together, and it won't be as traumatic as you expect it to be. Reverend Lisa, I had exactly 35 minutes of labor. And before the nurses could blink, he was in the world. And guess what? He came into the world with such violent force that he broke the cord. So all they had to do was clean up. That's kind of where we are right now. The energy is already around us, within us. And it is up to us to teach ourselves how to calm ourselves and get out of the fear mode despite what we're seeing around us, so that we can be able to come into harmony and flow with the energy. And when we flow with the energy, we will find that it will take us to the place where we need to be. But then the question is, in this very busy life that we have, with all the responsibilities that is put upon our shoulders and all that is required of us, we have to live, we have to eat, we have to make a living, we have to raise children, we have personal responsibilities, we have community responsibilities, we have responsibilities placed upon us by our job. So how, in the middle of all of this, all of these functions and actions that are required, how do we stay balanced? And how can we hold ourselves in harmony, even if not entirely for 24 hours a day, at least for a major portion of the day? That, for me, is the big question.
I think that that is our challenge, isn't it? Overcoming this density of the humanness that has a tendency to let those things get stuck in us so that we forget that it already exists. And through our practice, we become, we enlighten, we lighten up, we seek and find that balance.
So how do we stay balanced in a challenging world? And again, you know, I like to teach from my own life, because I don't think that my life is more unique than anybody else's. It's just that from a very early age, I was very attentive to what was happening not only within me but around me. At the age of 12, I was very clear that I was a spiritual being. The only trouble is I felt like none of the adults around me could help me to live that spiritual life. And so I took myself into prayer, constant prayer. Not the prayer that some people think, you know, you get on your knees and you repeat these words over and over again. It was like conversation with God all the time. You got to help me. Father God, you got to help me, because these adults can't help me.
Yeah.
And so I say, the place to begin is asking for help. Now, I want to back up a little bit as I talk about this and clarify some words. You know, in a blog, I contribute to a blog, and in this blog we were talking about what does it mean to be spiritual. And a couple of people were objective. They had objections to use the word God. And they said, well, you know, as soon as you start talking about God, it gets very confusing, and for many people, they can't relate. And this is the little story that I told, because part of me is a storyteller, you know, and I feel like you can get the point across a whole lot easier when you use stories. And the story that I told is, imagine this for a moment, please. If you can close your eyes and imagine this. It is 6 a.m. in the morning, and there is a mother with children who have to be at school on time. So she says to little Johnny, go get your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And Johnny goes off to the bathroom, And he selects what we have come to know as a toothbrush, a manufactured brush that is manufactured and made with plastic. We all know what a toothbrush looks like. And he puts some toothpaste on it, and he proceeds to brush his teeth. When he's finished, he comes out of the bathroom, and his mother says, "Let me see." And she takes a look, and she's satisfied. Johnny has done a very good job at brushing his teeth. Now, it's 6 a.m. in a very rural community where, for example, they still live in a very primitive way. The child wakes up, and the mother says, "Go brush your teeth." And the child moves to the outside, picks a branch, takes a piece of bark off of the tree, sticks it in his mouth. He chews around on it for a while and kind of break up the outer edges, and he proceeds to brush his teeth. When he is finished, he walks back into the house, and the mother says, "Let me see," and she takes a look, and she is absolutely satisfied that he's done a good job. Now, the question to debate is, what is a toothbrush? We could spend forever arguing about what is a toothbrush.
Hey, now I'm
confused. Is it a piece of plastic that has been manufactured and color has been poured into it and they've placed some bristles in it? Is that what a toothbrush really is? Or could a toothbrush be a piece of bark that has been rendered capable of brushing one's teeth?
We spend
too much time arguing about the language that we use for things that are spiritual. And language is man-made. It's the way we communicate while we are in this body. And then I ask people when they're wrestling over language, I ask the question, we're in a human physical body. It has limitations. When you get out into spirit, what do you think you'll call it? Whatever it is you're arguing over.
Right.
So one of the first things we have to recognize if we are to engage this place, this very beautiful place of being in balance and in harmony, we've got to start by giving up our perspectives about what is. Remembering that we are only one-tenth conscious. Nine-tenths of who we are is hidden. So we got to stop holding on to the dogma. We've got to release the dogma and let it go. And we've got to learn how to just be. You see, the teeth needs cleaning. It doesn't really matter what you call the instrument you use to clean the teeth. The point is, both mothers were satisfied with the result of what the kids use. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. We do get too wrapped up in our own, like you said, the perception of what we think it is, and so much of that is ego or ignorance or both.
The ego and the ignorance is what keeps us out of balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we're an ego, we have edged God out. And if you can't even appreciate when someone is discussing or languaging their own version or perception or perspective about source, the divine, the frequency, the vibration, the energy, the ultimate, the one, then we miss the point. The teeth are dirty.
That's right.
we're not willing to see that there are so many different tools available to us. You and I were speaking yesterday. Each of us are vibrating at a certain frequency, and each of us are receiving exactly what we're vibrating. When we move beyond that languaging and just allow it to be, through our stillness practice, through prayer, through meditation, through communing with Mother Nature, receiving, just being and receiving, we then begin to get clarity, don't we?
That's right. So life is about living. One of the most, of course, I have all these stories from my own journey. My own journey started at 12. But as soon as I learned to really read and can comprehend, I started placing my head into books, you see. So I'd go to the library and I'd pull all these books up and I'd read them. And, oh, my God, I was fascinated by past life situations. And there were a number of things that were fascinating me. And being a bookworm, I kept my head in those books, man. And then I stumbled onto this spiritual teacher I was telling you about, who was
right.
90. And as strong as an ox. And he looks at me and he goes, you are so interested in all these fascinating theories that you find in books, he says, but how do you expect to understand God if you don't know yourself? He dwells within you. So instead of sticking your head in the books, he says, so that some writer can tell you who or what God is, you need to find out more about how your physical body functions, how your mind relates to that, and what happens to you when you're daydreaming. He says, and when you can understand that, you might have a chance of understanding the divine soul.
Oh, I love that. That is powerful. And at the age of, what, 12 or 13, you were receiving that?
Yes.
Amazing. What a gift.
And so he took every single book out of my hands. At the time, I read the Bible every single day. He said, put it away for a year. It's not going anywhere, and the information is inside of you anyway. And then he took my hand and he led me into nature. Walk by the river. Bathe in the river. Wash your face in the river. Drink some of that river water. It won't kill you, he said. Climb a tree. See the world from the vantage point of a tree. Spend time with rocks. Walk in the rain. Listen to your heartbeat. Feel the joy of your spirit when you are in nature. Because that's how you'll find God. And when you find him, he said, don't restrict him to one name only. Powerful lessons, which I want to share with your listeners today, that when we're talking about balance and harmony, I could sit here and give 20 steps to falling into balance and to moving into harmony. But we've got to begin by letting go of the dogma that has been pumped into us. And let the universe, let the energy, let God speak to us directly. And the most powerful place to hear God is in nature. So when we are seeking to be in balance and in harmony, we start by spending time. As much time as we can. We live in a busy world. It would be nice. You see, when I was young and did not have responsibilities, I could spend a lot of time. I could spend an entire day on Saturday wandering in nature. Many of us can't do that today. But we can set aside 10 minutes to meditate and visualize. If I can't be actually physically in nature, I can close my eyes and visualize it. Visualize myself walking through a forest. Because guess what? To my subconscious, it doesn't distinguish between the fact that I'm just visualizing it or I am actually doing it.
So true. And we receive the benefit of that profound relaxation that Mother Earth gives us.
Take your shoes off your feet. two or three times a week and walk on Mother Earth so the energies of the earth can enter through the soles of the feet to rejuvenate you. Simple, simple ways of coming into harmony. Take a look at your space. In the midst of everything that you own, etc., do you have what I call a tranquility space? A space in your home, in your bedroom, in your garden, where you can take yourself and be at perfect peace. So many people are apartment dwellers. But even inside of an apartment, one can cultivate a plant, place it close to a window. We can choose the hangings that we have on the wall that will remind us of nature. But even in the middle of our busyness and our responsibilities, there are opportunities for us to be in a place of balance. Buy yourself a little plant, a small one, and bring it home. Bless it, say a prayer of blessing on it, and place it in a spot where it can receive light. Then tell yourselves that you are to this plant what God is to you, what Spirit is to you, what Jehovah is to you. Because you see, once you bring that little plant in the house, if you don't give it water, it will die. You have the power of life and death to that plant in your hands. Once it starts to grow and it needs to be transplanted into a bigger pot, if you and I don't take responsibility to do that, it will not thrive. So in taking care of this plant, I find when I bring a plant into the house, I've got to move it into different positions until I find just the right position where it's got just the right amount of light. Some plants like direct sunlight, some plants don't. So I've got to study the plant so I can know how to take care of it. And as I take care of it, I see myself as not only custodial, but I'm God to this little piece of life that I've brought into my space. That's a wonderful way of knowing the divine. Because you are to the plant and you watch it thrive, you recognize that the universe, spirit, God, is to you what it is that you are to the plant. And the other thing I say to my students is, don't ask God for anything that you're not prepared to do for that little plant you brought into your house. That makes sense.
I love it. Yes, that's beautiful. That is wonderful. Yes, I love that. Very good. Very good.
We've got to create places of harmony, even in the middle of chaos. You know, almost all of my spiritual growth took place while I was married. I got married at 19. I was married. I had altogether 7 children. I have 5 living children. The first pregnancy were twins, and one came away and died. And the second pregnancy, the baby did not live. And I have 5 children. And my spiritual growth took place over the period of being married, raising a family, getting an education. I went to college when I was married and had a family. Getting an education, raising these children, guiding them to be able to make their own way in life. Lived in 6 different countries, so every now and again you got to pack everything up and move. And my spiritual growth was right in between the living and the growing and the structuring and the letting go. And there were little, small ways in which Spirit, the universe, guided me so that I can get, even if it's 15 minutes in a day, that could be dedicated to quiet, and stretching and meditation. That's how my spirituality grew. So I say to my students and to my listeners, regardless of how busy your life may be, stop and think of your life as 24 hours. Get out paper and pencil and put in writing how you spend those 24 hours. If you sleep 6 hours, you put 6 hours for sleep. If you work for 8 hours, you put 8 hours for work. If you spend 2 hours cooking or cleaning, or you account for every single one of those 24 hours, and then you step back and you look at it and you go, now, where is my time with spirit? Where is my time with God? And you know, sometimes my time got so busy that my time with God was when I parked the car 2 or 3 blocks away from my destination, and I have to walk from the car to my destination. There were times in my life when that was my time with God.
Wonderful. Wow. And we long for that. We are longing for that time, but we fill it with other distractions, don't we? But said, you can make that time. And to make that time, like, you know, it only takes that moment just to say, you know, wake up in the morning with your gratitude, you know, even before you get out of bed, just begin that connection. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Feet flat on the floor while you're brushing your teeth. It is the constant communion with divine, and we get to choose it no matter how busy we are.
That's right. And it's funny you say when you're brushing your teeth, that is one of the most phenomenal moments in your spiritual growth. You know that. If you're standing in front of a mirror and you're brushing your teeth, you're standing there, you're brushing your teeth, and you're looking directly in your eyes, and you ask the question, who am I?
Mm.
Why am I here? Who am I? You're brushing your teeth. The hands may be brushing the teeth. The eyes are looking into those eyes in the mirror and asking a question that the subconscious will answer. By the time you've washed your mouth, rinsed your mouth out, and washed your face, you have initiated a search for identity.
I love that. And it continues to be revealed. We have to realize it's continually flowing for us and shifting for us.
Ask and it
and
shall
be
given.
Absolutely, and that we are worthy to ask and receive.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And that is part of, look at that, that's perfect balance. Ask and receive. Isn't
that's
that balance?
Correct. But then,
and doesn't
let's
that
look
create
at the receiving. Let's look at the receiving
yes.
part. When I come to the receiving part now, there's a line that hit me from a movie called Spiritual Warrior. Anyone who is serious about spiritual growth need to have that movie. They need to own it. Movie called Spiritual Warrior. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But when I watched that movie the very first time, there's a line in that movie that got 150% of my attention. And the line is, take out the trash. And it's an older teacher saying this to a younger man who gets offended, thinking that the teacher means that, well, because I'm young, I'm going to take your trash out for you. And he says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. The trash is any and everything that stands in the way of the only thing that matters to you. Take out the trash. So in order for
love
us
it.
To receive, we got to do the work to take the trash out.
Yeah.
Because when we ask, what comes back at us, you know, if I'm asking for a house, it's not a house that is going to drop in front of me. It is a whole bundle, if you like, a whole bunch of energy that will fill me up and direct me to do the things that will manifest the house I'm asking for. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense.
But if I have a lot of garbage in the way, when the energy comes in, it hits the garbage and it rebounds off.
Yeah.
So if we're really serious about being ready to receive, we have to spend some time taking out the garbage. And what is the garbage?
Clearing.
What
right.
is the garbage?
What is the garbage?
A lot
mm-hmm.
of those belief systems that we hold on to. And they are just that, belief systems. They're not necessarily truth. All of that stuff we're holding on to that they did to us when we were 5 and 9 and 16 and 20, and we don't understand it. Every time we repeat it and we talk about it, we are holding on to it. We're feeding energy into it so we can hold on to it. So we have to start learning how to get the trash that we have accumulated in our spirit out of the way. And when it is out of the way, then we are open. We're wide open like a vessel, an empty vessel to receive. And it is what Christ meant when he said, you cannot put new wine into old skins.
Ooh, love that. Love that.
Our
church like
is guilty of telling us to ask and you will receive. But it kind of sort of misses the point that you got to clear the space to receive. It's no different than in your house. If you are going to go buy a brand new fancy refrigerator and you bring it into the house where you have two refrigerators already plugged into the space and you do nothing about removing one of them, the new refrigerator will sit there, but it would not be in use. Can you see what I mean?
I do. Or if we can't get rid of the rotten old food that's in the old refrigerator to,
mm-hmm.
you know, put, exactly, you know, if we don't want to move that rotten old food into the new refrigerator, so when we begin to adopt the new thought patterns that become the new beliefs, it's okay to let the old beliefs go. It's healthy. It's like weeding that garden, pulling it up and creating room and space within so that the divine can flourish.
That's correct. That's correct. A whole lot of this thing called balance puts responsibility on our shoulders. Another exercise I give my students is, where are your thoughts during the waking hours of your life? And my students carry several notebooks. One of them they are going to chart. Can't capture every thought and write it down, but they are going to write down for me every day, where does your mind wander when you are on the phone on hold? Where does your mind wander to when you are driving? When you're out on a walk, what are you thinking? Because you've got to learn how to empty that space so you can receive.
Yeah. Mm. You know, and that becomes part of that living consciously. And it is a practice, and it does, you know, it's like strengthening our muscles. We begin to witness that. You know, you think about if you're just driving along and all of a sudden you are at your destination, all of those miles, when we begin to consciously come into awareness, that becomes this opportunity to commune and design our life with the divine, as opposed to just wasting time.
That's right. That's right. That's right. It's like a drill sergeant who makes you mark time in the same place. You're expending a tremendous
right.
amount of energy, but you're not going anywhere, okay?
spiraling to nowhere. You know, I love when I get in the car and
you know, of course, ask for safety first. And seeing all my fellow drivers is just being amazing and wonderful and safe. And before I turn anything on, because I'm usually listening to a teaching in that, I like to mantra. I just mantra and get my vibration up so that I am super aware and super focused on wherever I'm headed. And, you know, no more road rage, no more, you know, using the single inverted peace sign to my fellow travelers as I did, you know, 30 years ago when I was very stressed in the car. And, you know, our mindset affects how we drive, not to belay this point, but during the reason why there are or there were relatively few accidents compared to how many cars are on the highway is because driving is a meditative state. And when we really harness that, we can be totally relaxed. We can allow a fellow traveler to cut us off and not condemn him and all of his loved ones and every person he ever comes into contact with to, you know, to a life of misery. We can say, go ahead, friend, you must be in a hurry. You know, there
you
are
see,
these
you're
opportunities.
You're driving with the source.
Right.
When
you
are connected in the flow, you are always in the flow. And
always.
When I have to sit as a passenger in somebody else's car, it just fascinates me. It takes me into laughter. And I would go, well, why are you so upset with whatever? You know, when it's about getting into the flow. See, what I'm talking here about is being in the flow 24/7. I'll give you an example about driving. I'm driving along 495, which is an interstate highway here, 6 lanes, everybody flying at 65 miles an hour. I was probably flying at 70. I like speed. And I got hit from behind by a 10-ton Mack truck. Didn't expect it. I'm driving along, and then boom. As a matter of fact, initially I wasn't sure what happened.
Wow.
The car spun 3 times. I remember counting it. The car spun once, it spun twice, it spun 3 times, and that car maneuvered itself through traffic. It threaded its way through traffic, and I ended up on the other side of the wall, facing the wrong direction.
Wow.
I walked
You were in
away.
The flow.
When the cop came over, as a matter of fact, the cop came over, I opened the door. The truck driver, when I walked over to him, because they had to shut down the highway, of course, when I walked over to him, he was shaking like a leaf. He said, "Lady, I thought I'd killed you."
Wow.
I was convinced I had killed you.
Oh.
When we are in the flow, we don't have to worry about safety.
Right.
We're in the flow. And, of course, my being hit that day, I learned a whole lot from that exercise because I was driving a brand new car, which was 3 weeks old. It got totaled.
Oh.
I walked away without a scratch. Not a scratch. When we choose to live in the flow, we can give up trying to run our lives. I don't run my life. I have a calendar. And I have to follow it, but people around you will tell you that there are days when I may have started off with a calendar that looked this way, but my life will end up living that way. Because once we are in the flow, we're connected to the flow, we now understand that you've got this phenomenal, awesome power that is in charge. I don't need to tell it what to do. I just give thanks. I'm on my way today, Lord, and I give thanks for having a wonderful journey to my destination.
Wow, yeah.
What was amazing about that story I just told you, you know, I work with men in prison. And I was doing a class This is the honest to God truth. I was doing a class in a prison with 35 men, and I told that story. And the man sitting across the way from me just sat there staring at me like he was in a coma. And I said, "Are you all right?" And he said, "I was sitting in the truck that hit you." It was my nephew driving the truck, and I was sitting in the passenger seat. And he said, "All these years, we argued about, we wondered about whether you were ever a racing car driver." I said, "Why did you think that?" He said, "Because the way you maneuvered your way, you threaded your way between the cars to the other side."
Oh.
And we figured that the only way you could have done that was because you probably had driven racing cars. I said, "Never been on a racetrack in my life."
Oh, wow. And you allowed the flow or God to drive for you.
When I
Your
got hit, the first thing I heard, was, "Get your hands off the wheel." Took my hands off the wheel.
There you go. Wow.
Get your hands off the wheel. Took my hands off the wheel. We have to understand,
and we
are seeking to be in a divine, awesome flow. When you're in that flow, our one-tenth consciousness can direct 9-10. I mean, think about it. You go to college. Let's say you go to college. You barely manage to make it out of high school, and you find your way into college. And this professor walks in who is gray-haired. He's been teaching for 17, 18 years. He's got 2 PhDs. Do you sit there and tell him how to teach? Of course you don't. We're flowing in an awesome flow. And all we have to do is get our balance, get connected, and be in the flow. And the flow will do the rest.
Mm.
And it doesn't
matter
what you call the flow. Some of my atheist friends are even more secure in the flow than I am.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Because they seem to spend a lot of time in nature. You see what I'm saying?
I do, right. Right, yes. The name is not important.
They receive direct instructions.
Exactly. And, you know, 100 years ago, we spent 80% of our time out there receiving instructions.
That's correct.
From the flow. Right.
That's correct.
Yeah. And
you see, my atheist friends, I tell them all the time, I said, "You see, you're getting direct instructions and you're not really concerned about what name or what language to put on it."
Yes, exactly. You know, and I think it's that labeling. Eckhart Tolle talks something about, you know, do not name it. Just witness it. When we name it, that's when we get into trouble. That's when ego steps up. That's when we can, you know, do all the atrocities, quote unquote, in the name of God.
Well, let's simplify that a little. You're right.
Okay.
But let's make that simpler for listeners.
Yes. I like simple.
We refer to God as a man, right? Most people refer to God as a man.
Some do,
We also, most people refer to God as a father, okay?
Yes.
If I didn't have a good relationship with my father.
Very interesting.
Or for that matter, if I never had, I didn't even know who my father was. The referring to God as a father is not going to work for me. Because everything that I know and understand in my physical being of fatherhood is not positive.
Great.
So it doesn't
matter
how much I try to superimpose, well, this is a kind father, I can only relate to that imagery through what I have experienced. Bob Marley says, "Who feels it knows it, Lord." You see what
Love
I'm saying?
It.
So this is why we have to let go of these imagery, let go of the image that has been given to us, and allow our inner being to give us our own imagery. the imagery that belongs to us and the imagery that we can relate to.
Our own personal relationship with that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get to choose.
Well, I think if we allow the spirit to choose for us, you see what I'm saying? Then it pops
Correct.
Up in meditation. It
yes.
pops up in meditation. You know, for some people, I've had this fascination with atheists for a long, long, long time. And I find that when I talk to some of my friends, they'll tell me, when I say God, what they think about is maybe a windswept ocean. Because they love being by the ocean and standing there and watching these waves, you know, and the spray of the ocean brings them into this divine presence. Well, that's the imagery that works for them. Somebody else is a mountaintop. For me, Lord, I love mountaintops. Every year I have got to get myself on a mountaintop at least 3 times. And when I get there and I can stand and I can behold the splendor, That's what brings that divinity. That's what brings that sacredness. Some people is Mother Earth, just the hands in the earth. That's what I found when I talked to a lot of atheists. They're having the experience, they're just not wedded to the label.
Right. Yes. Yes. And our expression of it, our experience of it, that feeling of it is what matters.
Yes.
And if we're feeling good, we're feeling God or Source or the divine
or love, whatever you want to call it.
It's that, and you know, I think you and I touched briefly yesterday the difference between religion, the doctrine, which is the learning curve, can be the learning curve for many people, and the spirituality, which is the experiencing of God for yourself, of Source, of the divine. Just be divine, just be divine, be divine. And it opens up for you.
Well, let me put it this way. I can only teach for my own life. That's not to say that everybody's life has to flow like mine, but it's just the way it worked for me. I grew up with a very, very strong Christian background. Both grandparents, pastors. So you can imagine how much time we spent in church. By the time I was 12, I swear I had read the whole Bible, or had most of it read to me. What I take from my very, very strong Christian roots is that somebody had to teach me the framework of sacredness. I had to be taught how to honor. I had to be taught how to obey. I had to be taught that there's something called prayer. I had to be taught that there is ritual. I mean, today when I say the word ritual, it's a whole different ball game. Now, when I said ritual, if you said to me ritual when I was out there just a Christian going to church, I would say, oh yes, baptism and communion and weddings. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Today the word ritual has expanded into a whole other field, a whole other dimension. But I had to start somewhere, and I still honor, and I still bless what I've learned. I mean, falling on my knees in prayer when I was a child, and you know, we attended an Anglican church. Here it's the Episcopal church, where you drop to those knees to pray. And when you walk in the church, you look at that cross, you drop to your knees and you bow your head. I had to learn reverence. And it is the reverence and everything that I learned and the basis of ritual that I learned that got transferred into my seeking so that I can open up spiritually. So religion has a place. The problem is it's like religion is like, maybe I shouldn't say this on air, it's like kindergarten, first grade. It teaches you basic tools. But if you decided that I love kindergarten and I want to stay here and play with these toys, it wouldn't serve you very well when you're 21 years of age and need to find a job.
Right.
So
right.
Once we understand the place that it has in life, it gives you that starter. It gave me, let me put it this way, it gave me that starter. And so when I started to branch out to seek, the reverence was already in place. The honoring was already in place. The prayer was already in place. They didn't teach me meditation in the Christian community. But then when I went out seeking, I learned meditation, and I discovered that prayer and meditation is two sides of the same coin.
Similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not right. That you knock Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever it is. They're all man-made religions.
Mm-hmm.
But at least each and every one of them have got series of things that you can learn. So that you can learn the basics. And then once you learn the basics, then you can move on to advanced level.
Absolutely, and I agree. And I think when we were talking yesterday, you know, I mean, that was one of the greatest gifts my mother gave me. I saw her seek within the framework of Christianity. And she taught us those very, you know, those wonderful tools, that foundation. And then she said to me, now you must find your way of
your
experiencing
way.
God.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Right.
Put
but like you said,
tools in place.
Basic tools were in place. That foundation was in place. I knew it was so important for her life. She shared that with my sisters and I. Excuse me. And that served me well. It continues to serve me well. As my, you know, my enthusiasm for the ever-expanding practice of experiencing more and more light, more and more love,
mm-hmm.
more and more God,
mm-hmm.
more and more source, mm-hmm. every day, all day, most days. And when I have a very human moment, let's talk about this for a moment. I think we touched on it briefly earlier in the show. We... are living in this very dense package of frequency and vibration that is the human body to experience things for our soul's expansion. When we have the wind knocked out of our sails, so to speak, when we have that dark night of the soul, the ability to draw from my practice, because I practice when I'm feeling fantastic, so that when I have that dark night of soul, there's always the quantum healing. So to be able to now witness when I'm having a dark night of the soul, when all systems are, you know, not expanding, but they feel like they're contracting, to have that healing crisis, that opens us up even more so if we can just make it through that dark night of the soul. I'm sure you've experienced.
Well, I'd like to say to you again from my own life. As
mm-hmm.
you know, I had a near-death experience. And
right.
I stood at the record and I reviewed my life. And when I came back to Earth, I have to tell you,
wow.
I was pretty upset with a whole lot of people, including the church people, what they taught me.
Sure.
Because guess what I discovered at the record? Those
that
are your blessed moments.
Yeah.
It yeah. is the place where the universe and God, you know, it's like a teacher. It's like, well, I have grandchildren who run track and field. So I spend a lot of time around people who run a lot, okay? And you've got that kid out there, and you're practicing, and you've got them out there, and they're doing sprints, and they're doing breathing, and they're doing the jumping rope. My goodness gracious me, I watch my little granddaughter, I'm thinking this child is going to collapse from fatigue because she has to jump rope, you know, so in order to strengthen those legs. And, of course, you know, you do the short sprints, and then the next thing you know, she's doing distance running, and she's running the hills and all of that. All of that is practice for when she stands there and that gun goes off. And what I hear her father, who's her coach, say to her is, listen to this carefully. When the gun goes off, I want you out of your mind. I want you thinking.
Ah.
Because we have worked hard to program action into your limbs. So when the gun goes off, you're not running against anybody. you are out of your mind. You are not thinking about how to make it to the finishing line. You're just allowing all the practice we put into place to move into motion and take you where you need to be.
Oh, I love that.
It's the same with our spiritual growth. Our practice, meditation, prayerfulness, mindfulness, aromatherapy, whatever we use in our practice, it's just that. It is practice, practice, practice. And then the divine source says, okay, now, I see those spiritual muscles have been strengthened. She's functioning at the fifth dimension. It's time to take her to seven. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be adversity that is going to take you to seven.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the blessing.
Infinite love and
that's
gratitude. That's part of that birthing process.
That's the blessing.
You don't get
that's
to hold that. Yeah, you don't get to hold that beautiful baby until you go through the contractions.
Go through that pain.
And
that's right.
Yeah.
I've yet to hear
yes.
of anybody who just had a baby and had no pain at all or distress.
I chickened out in this lifetime. I only had the four-legged kind.
And they can
and
be a trial,
true.
Too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Those are the blessed moments. I don't call them the dark night of the soul anymore. I give thanks
I
to them because I know that once I have gone through it, I will come out at a higher vibration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that clearing, that, you know, that that's part of the releasing and the purification and the rituals that we have to move us up that. You know, whenever I have a new initiation and we're coming up to that time of in bulk again, and so we'll be doing some more initiations, you know, there is that little bit of, well, I'm more prepared for it now. And so making sure that in part of our balance and harmony practice that we're breathing well, taking in the first nutrient of
mm-hmm.
breath, that we're
mm-hmm.
hydrating well, using water, water, water,
mm-hmm.
and then super nourishment, making sure that what we're putting into our body, A, we're blessing it, and we're very grateful because there are so many people that are not able to make that choice to nourish themselves well. And, you know, I think that really, really helps. And like you were saying, it helps us stay light and enlightened by what we're putting into our body.
Mm-hmm.
That's creating balance so that we can expend the energy, so that we can receive more, so that we can move more smoothly through initiation times or the blessed times or the, you know, the, however it's coming for us. And to just keep grateful.
Be grateful, man. Gratitude.
Be grateful.
Your gratitude will determine your altitude.
Oh, I love that.
And we are grateful when we are traveling for every single source. There are no ordinary moments, none. And the most extraordinary moment is when we've got the back up against the wall and we wake up to realize, oh, my goodness, I got over the wall. I'm not even sure
yeah.
I got over the wall, but I got over the wall. Wow. I'm in a different place. I'm at a different vibration.
Right.
I'm at a different level. Wow.
And we see the entire journey up to this moment in time where life is occurring as amazing. We made it through. Phew.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now we share our experience, strength, and hope with others and say, you know, friend, I see you are having a moment, and I'm going to engage my practice, my source, my divine, all of my strength, power, glory, gratitude, and grace so that I can offer you a hand. And I can say, hey, you know, let you don't have the strength to do it for yourself right now. I'm going to stand here and hold that space for you because when you make it through, you are going to shine, shine, shine.
That's correct. We are born to shine. And
oh,
the universe,
that.
Spirit, God loves us so much that whatever it takes to get that garbage out of the way, whatever it takes, the universe will use.
Amen to that. And as we gain more altitude through our gratitude, I love that, as we take the garbage out, it really becomes less laborious, I guess.
It's not trauma at all.
It's not.
It's like the runner.
It's not always, right, strengthened.
It's like
strengthened.
The runner. The runner lives with pain. The athlete lives with pain. I mean, as I said, I've got these grandchildren, and they're super athletes. They live constantly with pain, but they have learned how to massage, how to stretch, how to ease that mm-hmm. pain, and when the time and the moment is right that they have to excel, they stand there and they use what they have been taught, okay, to relax the muscles, loosen them up. I'd watch my granddaughter be in pain for 2 days where she couldn't stand on her ankle, and she's got a meet in 4 days' time. And 4 days later, watch her win that 800. I'm thinking, how in the world did she surmount, overcome that pain in her brain to actually grace that tape?
Yes. Yeah, and then to soar, and she flies.
Yes. Yes.
And she's in the moment. She's out of her mind. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I hear
and
coach scream, get out of your mind. I don't want you processing the race.
Yeah.
It's not your job. Your job is to pour into those muscles the action you need. Build them as strong as you can build them and pour into them the action that you need. And when that gun goes off, get out your mind. You're not running the race. It's a source greater than yourself pushing those muscles. Life.
Absolutely. And I think all of us, it's a good thought. It's a good thing to get out of our mind and get into our body, because that's where we experience all of this.
Yeah, get out
when
of
we
our
get
mind
out of
and get into our spirit.
Get into
the
it. Absolutely.
Powerful.
Powerful.
It has no limitation.
Limitless. Infinite,
mm-hmm.
ultimate, mm-hmm. and we are too, and we want to, we've just forgotten that. We've gotten mm-hmm. so tied to our sad, pathetic little story. I have a story
well,
for you.
Well, because nobody taught us any differently.
Right.
How can I know
Absolutely.
If nobody teaches me? Nobody taught them any differently, so you can't even blame
no.
them.
No, until a certain point, and then free will takes over and we get to choose each and every day. Am I going to hang on to that sad story? Am I going to tell my sad story one more time and therefore reinforce it? I love to share this with in a workshop. Maybe we'll do it someday, but you have everyone tell their sad story one more time. And there was a tribe. And in the tribe, you could tell your story only three times. And if you told your story more than three times without the wisdom, the elders, the medicine woman or the medicine man, would take you by the ankles and hang you over a cliff until the wisdom came.
I love it. I love it. But guess what? We're laughing. Hold on. Guess what? We're laughing at it. But let's turn and look at the in our human life. You know, that's exactly what spirit does with us. We keep telling it and telling it and telling it. They really put us through some agony, don't they? You're going to keep telling it. You're going to keep feeling
right.
the agony.
Absolutely.
But it's very interesting that we both have this practice in place. When I start a new group, you know, with the guys in prison, I said, okay, it's the second group. The second group, I say, each person has an opportunity to get in the center of this circle. I want you to tell me your worst story, the worst thing that ever happened to you. And then if they tell it timidly, I said, now you're going to have to tell it again, because guess what? You're never going to be telling this ever again in the history of the world.
That's right. That's right. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
so
funny. Isn't it funny? You have to laugh because we're working miles apart, but our spirit has unleashed for us the same methodology, some of the same methodologies.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that.
Oh,
I think
said
that's
this is
so
the last
awesome.
Time you're going to tell it. So, you know, put everything you got into
it. Make
it
good.
Sometimes I'll go, is that all you got? No, come on. You got to tell that story again because I know you can tell it a whole lot better than that.
Well, exactly. Well, and what I do is we tell the sad story to someone, and then I have everybody bark their sad story, and then have everyone tell it in a foreign language that they don't even know. And
mm-hmm.
then we'll tell it with the same enthusiasm, and by the end, everybody is so laughing that the healing has
mm-hmm.
occurred. We know
mm-hmm.
healing occurs when we begin to laugh.
To laugh. That's right. That's right.
When we have to remember rule number 7. And rule number 7 is we have to stop taking ourselves so seriously.
So seriously? No, listen to this one. You'd like this statement, Lisa. It came out of a book. This isn't attributed to me. Can you remember the reason why you got yourself into the mess that you got yourself into in the first place?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Yes. And that's responsibility. And when we take responsibility, we begin to respond with ability. We just haven't
mm-hmm.
been taught the tools of ability yet.
That's correct.
And
that's
once we learn these tools, techniques, teaching, trainings, everything begins to flow so much easier. We live in harmony. And
we are in balance. We are in harmony.
Oh, Reverend Norma, we could chat for days, I think, and maybe we will sometime.
Oh, I'd love for us to do a retreat together. I really would. I think it would be phenomenal.
I would, too.
If we did a retreat together, yes.
I think it would be fantastic. And let's just ask that our guides and angels allow that to occur with all the grace and glory and goodness of the source and let's put our little thinking caps, our wisdom caps on, and let's make that happen.
Yeah, I think it would be wonderful. I do a lot of work in prisons. I do a lot of work with drug addiction and help people to recover, to rehabilitate
mm-hmm.
and recover their lives, get back in the driver's seat of their lives. And
it's
a tremendous amount of fun because half of this stuff, you know, you can imagine you're inside of a prison, man. You hear stories like you would not believe. And sometimes, you know, we run out of time. The person is in the middle of doing the story, and I go, okay, you have to hold that. Hold that. Just write down the point at which you are. We come back tomorrow, and you are going to finish this story because this is the last chance you have of ever recounting the negative or the adversity or the training tools that has been used to bring you to this place.
Oh,
because they're all
love
tools
and
of transformation. All tools of transformation.
Absolutely. You can now build your rock upon that story and share your wisdom, share the grace that came through the adversity, and there always is.
Oh, yes.
We just have
and
to
the
be
laughter.
Ready.
Because sometimes in the middle of them, you know, tears running out the eyes, and and I go, wait a minute. Say that again. That one was really funny. Funny? Yeah, I see it as funny. Say it again. And then he'll say it again, and then we'll all bust out laughing, including him, and it's not so funny. It's not so serious after all.
That's
you
right.
You survived all that?
That's right. And that's when, and we know that healing has occurred when the laughter
healing has occurred.
It is the best medicine.
When we can laugh at ourselves, you know, it's powerful, very, very powerful. Well, I want to sum up what we've been talking about because we've gone around. We talked about a lot today.
Yes, ma'am.
But what I want to remind our listeners of is everything we've been talking about today has to do with this thing of balance and harmony. And I start off first by saying to people, get the body fit. Your mind will follow. Because the mind works harmoniously with the physical body. And so it doesn't do to meditate for an hour every day if your body is sluggish, because In meditating, you are inviting higher levels of energy in. But when it gets into this machine called the body, the machine called the body has not been prepared to receive it. Mm. So get the body fit. The mind will follow. And when I say get the body fit, I mean some people love exercise and they'll spend 2 hours in a gym. Just walk. Just get up and walk for 20 minutes a day. An hour a day if you can. 3 times a week if you can. Simply by parking the car 4 blocks away every time you have to park it and walk. Get the body fit, the mind will follow. Flush the body of its toxins. If the body is toxic, when the higher energies come in, it has to rebound and move away because the body is not ready to receive it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm. I do.
Take responsibility for where you choose to place your attention. Wherever we place our attention, Spirit will give us more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spirit does not judge. Spirit assumes that if we just want to sit every night and watch murder mystery on television, it's something about murder that we want to learn from, and it's going to bring us closer into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to where your attention is drawn. Live with mindfulness. Remember that your attitude will determine your altitude. How high you climb is going to be determined by how grateful you are. The universe loves laughter. The universe loves joy. The universe loves peacefulness. And when we can get into gratitude, regardless of where we find ourselves, you know, I work with prisoners. I work with prisoners who are long-term prisoners as well. They know that they got another 19 years and 6 months to get out of that cell. So one of the very first things you have to do is motivate them to be grateful every morning they open their eyes. Give gratitude for the holy breath. Give gratitude for the fact that your eyes opened and you can focus. Not everybody can do that. Give gratitude for the fact that energy flows in your legs. So I make them sit there and you know that you move the legs up and down, up and down. I'm like, can you feel the energy? Give thanks. All of these things help us to live more in balance. If we've got our attention and our awareness on negative stuff, you can't hold balance in the body. And if there's no balance in the body, there's no balance in the mind. And if the body is totally out of balance, it cannot receive higher level energies.
Mm-hmm.
Do random acts of kindness. You really want to see the power of gratitude at work? Random acts of kindness. When I drive through, when I'm driving I have to drive through the toll. I get a lot of kick out of paying the person behind me.
Me too.
As soon as the barrier comes off, I shoot away because I don't want the person to catch up with me to say thank you. And I'm laughing all the way there at the shock in their faces when they pull up and go, "You don't know anything. It's been paid for."
I just smile. Yep. I just smile and wave if they try. It's just like, because that will spiral. Oh, I love that. Or
random acts of kindness.
Absolutely.
That will. If you're a gardener and you love gardening and you have a neighbor who's elderly perhaps and can't do as much, well, give an hour into her garden. Buy someone a plant and give them the instructions how to keep it alive.
Nice. I like that.
Smile more often as you go about your business. Because when you smile, and it's returned, there is a phenomenal exchange of positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to the rhythm that you consume. By that I mean music. and the energy fields of things that are beautiful. Take yourself to a museum where you can actually feed off of the energy of the beauty all around you. Take a walk in a park. Hug a tree. Trees are always open to exchanging energy with us.
Mm-hmm.
Take a walk by a body of water. All of these things will help to bring you into balance. And as you come into balance, the more balanced we are, harmony just happens because the two go hand in hand. Love a child. Love a dog or an animal. Love a plant, because then you get to know what love feels like and you are closer to loving yourself. People spend a lot of time, I gotta love myself, and they get into vanity. I gotta go buy myself the most expensive whatever because I love myself. When you can love, one of the things that I was advised by a physical teacher that I had here was to take a walk, to make a commitment to walk the same route every day at the same time for 1 year. So you're walking right around the seasons, and you walk the same route. And let's say you start in the spring, you will walk all the way back to next spring. But what it does is you're walking in the spring and life is coming forth and you can feel that energy as you walk. And then it's summer and you're in the midst of the blooms and the blue. Oh, it's just so beautiful. And then in the fall, you can literally begin to feel the energy going down into the depths of the earth. And in the winter, it's bleak and you're walking in the bleakness, conscious that all, most of the energy is in the earth and you're absorbing it with your feet. You walk through the snow. And you walk back into spring. And the joy when you've walked during the winter and you see that very first spring bloom just jump out of the earth to face you. And your heart just bursts forth with exhilaration. You have survived. So have I.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Simple ways of getting into balance. Simple way
as that.
Of drawing harmony into our space.
Wow.
I hope that I have
powerful.
Given some food for thought.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, wonderful. Yes, I've been putting out these little pearls of wisdom onto the chat. And, we are definitely... Yes, this has been so powerful, Reverend Norma. Thank you so much. How can we get in touch with you? So I know you have some wonderful, exciting things coming up.
I have exciting things coming up. And I discovered it's on Blog Radio, too. It is also
excellent.
On Blog Radio on February the 6th. I begin a show that will be aired, and it will be on rites of passage to help people to understand the transition process of rites of passage, particularly for our young women and men. But it's not only designed for young people. It's designed for older people, too, who never did have a rites of passage ritual or ceremony. So that's one thing that is new coming up on the horizon. But listeners can go to my website, www.reprogramyourlife, as if it's one word, reprogramyourlife.net, and they will see a little bit more of what it is that I'm doing on the planet. I'm in
Excellent.
The process of writing a book, which should be out perhaps in the summer. I say perhaps because if I can stop making revisions...
Know when to say when.
The last book I wrote, my husband did a wonderful thing. He came downstairs. I was working on the book, and he says, "Where are you in the process?" And I showed him, and he says, "Okay, go to the end of the manuscript you have." He says, "Now delete the period you have there." I deleted the period. He said, "Now replace the period. Save it. The book is finished."
Perfection. Oh, yay. You got to love our supportive partners, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And mine knows very well how to say, okay, enough is enough. It's over.
There you go. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you again, Reverend Norma. I look forward to another conversation and working together with you in whatever way is possible. And I so appreciate you being here today. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just love, this was just really a pleasure and an honor to do this with you. And I'll hold you to the commitment that we will plan a retreat and do a retreat together, because I think it will be awesome transformation.
I couldn't agree more. I'll look forward to that, too. We will just leave that open and let spirit dictate the way it's going to be done.
That's correct. Well, I send you an abundance of blessings and a request that the universe will expand your territory in the world, and that you will be joyful and gloriously peaceful in the process.
Oh, I gratefully receive that, and I'm sending you love and light as well. Thank you so much. Wow, what an amazing teacher we have in our Reverend Norma, everyone. Thank you for your time today. I am Lisa Giroux, sharing pathways to peace, purpose, and prosperity, and reminding you to receive love and light, peace, and well-being. Namaste.